The Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Miracle. You don't need another tool. You need a growth partner. The Miracle platform is powering the next era of retail for brands and retailers who are ready to move. Powered by AI and built for what's next. It's March 2nd, 2026, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Walmart continues its tear, e-com growth at 27%. Perplexity abandons advertising to maintain user trust. The great parcel reconfiguration no one is talking about. And about that 2028 global intelligence crisis. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Walmart continues its tear, e-com growth at 27%. Walmart continues its retail climb with another stellar earnings report. What I saw was a new CEO who is not letting off the gas, 27% growth in e-commerce. Yowza. A few principles clearly stood out. Advertising is now the franchise. The elevation of Seth Dallaire to chief growth officer for all Walmart, not just in the United States, makes the mandate clear. Replicate the U.S. advertising and membership success globally. This is an underrated move as Seth has built advertising businesses at Instacart, Amazon, Yahoo, and Microsoft. If advertising was core to your strategy, there are not many better people you could find. Did I mention that one-third of operating income in calendar Q4 2025 came from advertising and membership, with global and U.S. advertising businesses up 37 and 41% respectively? U.S. ad growth got a big boost from its marketplace sellers who were called out. Second is automated logistics seems to be leading the way. It's hard to overstate the operational level of focus here. Walmart outlined the greatest costs are in inventory and labor for its business, and automated logistics takes aim at both. Meanwhile, Walmart Fulfillment Services for marketplace sellers continues to grow, which is now up to 52% of all marketplace sales. That also helps with growth and inventory at the same time. A few stats from supply chain. Fast delivery, what they term as delivery under 3 hours, is up 60% year over year. Second is 60% of stores are now receiving some automated freight. Third, 50% of e-commerce fulfillment center volume is now automated. And finally, the company opened 12 new stores and remodeled 674 stores last year. This is important not just for customers, but also for improved logistics. As much as they talked about fast delivery being 3 hours, you can really tell the number they cared about most was 30-minute delivery. Look out, Amazon. Can you match this? Third, a few consumer warning signs from Walmart. While it wasn't a bearish outlook, I did note that Walmart's consumer outlook seemed incrementally more sour to me than previous calls. The company clearly separated consumers above $100,000 in income and those under $50,000. Those below $50,000, many who are reported to be living paycheck to paycheck, seems like a headwind. On the other hand, households with incomes over $100,000 account for the bulk of Walmart's rapid growth, particularly in e-commerce, which is now driving the business's future. One note I took away, even from cash-strapped consumers, is that convenience has become table stakes. What started as a ploy to attract higher-income consumers has become standard across the portfolio and the foundation of Walmart's entire omnichannel strategy. Fourth, leaning into agentic commerce. Walmart's Sparky, the antidote to Amazon's Rufus, got most of the press and the earnings call on agentic commerce. First, consumers engaging with Sparky have 35% higher AOV than those who do not. Second, half of Walmart's app users have used Sparky. And third, computer vision is making inventory systems at the company more accurate. Despite the incrementally greater consumer warning signals, another takeaway I had from earnings was more subtle. Inventory levels declined to less than half of their growth numbers, or 2.6%, and the CEO lamented a little bit that if they had bought inventory more aggressively, their sales could have been even greater. A Walmart on offense could be bad news for competition. The company can serve 95% of America in under 3 hours. Our second story. Perplexity abandons advertising to maintain user trust. Let's get real about the Perplexity news. They're backing away from the traditional ad model because they realize something fundamental. In Gen AI, ads are probably a friction point, not a feature. In the old Google world, ads were easy to spot and easy to ignore. But when AI gives you a single authoritative answer, the answer has to be the truth. The moment a user suspects that a sponsored brand has bought its way into the AI's primary recommendation, the tool's utility evaporates. It's one reason that OpenAI's ad efforts have started on a CPM basis. The ads cannot be placed too close to the authoritative answer. Why does this matter for the ecosystem? First is it gives you incentive alignment. If the business model is built on clicks, the AI will prioritize engagement. If it's built on subscriptions, it prioritizes accuracy. Second is the pro moat. Perplexity is betting that power users will pay a premium to avoid being sold to. This is a flight to quality. And third is brand risk. For brands, being a sponsored answer might actually backfire. If the AI forces a brand into a conversation where it doesn't belong, it creates negative brand equity. You know, it's hard to say this given the fact that Perplexity is a relatively young company, but it kind of needs to be said. Perplexity actually may be in trouble. It's not going to be the biggest subscription business, and it can't rely on ads. The only pivot left is extreme verticalization or a pivot into a sales process to a major player like Apple. Our third story, the great parcel reconfiguration no one is speaking about. FedEx and UPS, and I've been saying this for a while, the signals are now deafening. FedEx wants to keep the store business, but they seem to have zero interest in keeping e-commerce businesses. If you're a brand looking at your latest rate card, you're probably seeing stars. Rates aren't just climbing, they're skyrocketing. Why is that? High-volume, low-margin residential porch drops are a headache that FedEx and UPS is increasingly happy to price themselves out of. They want the predictable, palletized, dock-to-dock B2B world. And kind of they're returning to their roots, and they're charging you a premium for the privilege of staying. But of course, like nature, logistics also abhors a vacuum. Enter Amazon. Amazon, I've seen coming in with the most aggressive rates for consumer logistics and taking chunks from UPS and FedEx volumes that those companies no longer want. Make no mistake, they aren't trying to be your everything carrier. They don't care about your store and B2B business. They don't want your mall deliveries or your B2B warehouse transfers. They want the consumer business, period. They built the world's most efficient last mile to the porch machine, and they are now weaponizing that infrastructure to eat the e-commerce market share that FedEx is effectively handing over. Keep in mind, Amazon's logistics business only generates revenue and profits if it can ship millions of packages per day. We're kind of seeing a great decoupling. The carriers are picking sides. FedEx and UPS are the kings of the B2B storefront. And Amazon is now the king of the residential porch. Our fourth story, about that 2028 global intelligence crisis. You've probably seen the report making the rounds this week from Citrini Research. It's titled, The 2028 Global Intelligence Crisis. Now, before you dismiss this as AI doomer fan fiction, because even if 20% of this scenario plays out, the retail and e-commerce landscape as we know it is headed for a structural reset. The core of the Citrini argument is something they call the intelligence displacement spiral. Here's the play-by-play. Starting now, in 2026, companies aren't just necessarily using AI to help workers. They're using it to replace them. And individually, it's rational. You cut payroll, you expand your margins, and your stock price pops. You take those savings and you buy more compute. But here's the flaw in that logic. Machines don't buy stuff in the economy. So Citrini calls this actually ghost GDP. It's a world where productivity is through the roof, but the velocity of money flatlines because 70% of our economy, the consumer part, is built on humans having discretionary income. If a GPU cluster in North Dakota replaces 10,000 Midtown Manhattan's office workers, that cluster isn't buying a $5 latte. It's not upgrading its wardrobe at Nordstrom's, and it's certainly as hell not paying a mortgage. For my friends in SaaS and e-commerce, pay attention to the frictionless commerce warning. Citrini predicts that by 2027, AI agents could handle your subscriptions, your price comparisons, and your negotiations. Think about that. If an agent is making the buying decision based on pure logic and zero latency price matching, what happens to brand loyalty? What happens to rent extraction layers like Visa, MasterCard when agents route payments through stablecoins to avoid fees? Hello, Stripe. The bottom line is, we've spent 20 years building an internet designed for human interaction, but we're moving to an internet designed for agentic execution. If you're a brand owner, ask yourself this: is my business model dependent on human friction? Am I winning because I'm the best, or because it's too annoying for the customer to switch? In 2028, that annoyance factor might go down to zero. It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have five items on the menu today. First, Diderot raises $30 million Series A to bring AI agents to global supply chains. New York-based Diderot announced it raised $30 million in Series A round to fund product development and hiring. Second, humanoid startup Aptronik raises $520 million. Aptronik raised a $520 million Series A extension round to commercialize its robots for industrial use. Sounds like more robots in warehouses. Third, FedEx and Advent-led consortium to buy InPost for $9.2 billion. A consortium comprising FedEx and InPost investors will acquire InPost for $9.2 billion US dollars. Lockers are a big business in Europe and FedEx wants access. Fourth, Resolve AI acquires Reward for $230 million. Publicly listed Resolve AI announced that it will acquire Reward for $230 million to add media to conversational commerce. And finally, the Pokemon Company International to acquire Xcel Brands. The Pokemon Company International announced that it's entered into a definitive agreement to acquire Xcel Brands for an undisclosed amount. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. I write a newsletter which you can subscribe to at watsonweekly.com, and you can find the podcast at the same location. Subscribe to it in the podcast platform of your choice.